WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Long before she toured the country singing folk songs, Rosalie Sorrells stayed home and collected them. Collecting songs was her hobby during her 14 years as a housewife in Salt Lake City. In 1967, she left her bad marriage and took her 5 kids and hit the road. She's developed a devoted following for her music and her stories. Now at the age of 60, when she's not on the road, she lives in the country outside of Boise, Idaho. Her good friend and fellow performer Utah Phillips once said about her, "Rosalie is a legend, a self-willed, high-velocity tornado, barnstorming festivals, nightclubs, and low dives, all the while writing the book on what to do if you're a woman over 40 and on the road." Rosalie Sorrells' new album, Borderline Heart, features a new version of the title track of her first album recorded 30 years ago. Here's her new version of If I Could Be the Rain.
Sometimes I wonder how a simple rain can wait, or why the wind is a lonely child that cries itself to sleep, and I envy the sunlight, the amber of its smile. Wished it could be borrowed for a while. If I could be the rain, the sea. If I could be the wind, there'd be no more of me. And if I could be the sunlight and all the days were mine, I would find some special place to shine.
Rosalie Sorrells, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here.
So during the years you were married, you were collecting folk songs, performing some of them. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to go on the road and actually be a performer?
Well, my marriage broke up, and I had 5 children, and I didn't know how to do anything, and I came to this profession through lack of job skills. I went out to get a job in Boise, and nobody would pay me for anything I knew how to do, which was take care of babies and cook and clean. They still don't pay for that much. And somebody offered me $350 to do a concert, and that's all anybody'd offered me for a whole month's work before, so I decided to do that.
Now, how old were your children?
They were from 4 to 14 right then.
When you went on the road, what did you do with the kids?
Well, I know a lot of people think I've slung them into a car and dragged them around, but I didn't. I usually tried to find a place where I thought we could be stable, and I tried to go out as little as possible. I tried the Bay Area. I tried upstate New York. I tried Vermont. I didn't live anywhere for more than a year for about 15 years during that time. I kept having to flee, usually because I didn't have enough money to keep it together or because one of the kids got into trouble and we had to get out of town.
The house that you live in now is a cabin that your father built by hand.
Yes.
A cabin what, about 30 miles out of Boise?
Yeah, it's on Highway 21, which goes to Idaho City and then up over the mountains into Stanley Basin. It's a very beautiful place. I live where it begins to be filled with trees, and I live in a stone canyon with a creek going by my house, Grimes Creek. And Dad cut all the logs himself. He made all the bricks. He had no money, so he had to do everything from scratch. And he really built it stick by stick and stone by stone. There's all these lovely rock gardens around. He brought all the rock there and put it in terraces. And my mother made a cobbled patio from the river stones. And they planted, it was absolutely bare when they started putting that place up, and you can't see it now. It's so surrounded by the old lilac trees and apple trees and firs and pines that he planted there, and foliage of different kinds, so you can't see it from the road.
Did you work on the cabin with your father at all?
Yeah, not as much. My brother really worked on it a lot. My brother has a deep, firm part of that cabin in him. And by the time he started to build it, I was in high school. And then I married and went away, so I wasn't there as much. But I did used to go there every summer and take my children. We all feel so connected to that place. I don't know what in the world we'd do if it nearly burned last year, and I think I had an inkling of how I would feel if it was gone. I would feel as though I'd been uprooted from the world and left bereft in space.
What happened?
Well, we had a forest fire that came very close. We were evacuated. The kids came, took everything out of the cabin and put it in storage.
How close did the fire come?
Quarter of a mile.
Wow, that is really close.
Yeah. You have no idea of how helpless you can feel in the face of one of those fires either. They're so ferocious. And the fury of them is incomprehensible to someone who hasn't witnessed them.
Do you have any songs that you think of as being particularly about your home?
Well, there are a lot. Have you heard Report from Grimes Creek?
Mm-hmm.
That old song that's on there, it starts this, it's called Singing in the Country, the Sweetbriar and the Orange Brush, with blossoms purple, gold, and red, our flames. With voices in the bush, and sacred seems the ground I tread.
Our flames with voices in the bush, and sacred seems the ground I tread. The golden bees, the golden bees, mark them none. Sweetest melodies, the golden bees, the golden bees, mock them none, sweetest melodies.
We're listening to my guest, Rosalie Sorrell. I know after your father died, your mother lived alone in the cabin for many years. Do you live alone there now?
Yes, I do. I'm really alone now. My dog died the other day.
Oh, I'm sorry to
hear
that.
I'm not used to that idea. He was a real company. And, you know, I have friends come and stay with me sometimes, and my children spend a lot of time up there, but I live there alone most of the time.
Do you like living alone?
Yes, I do.
Tell me what you like about it.
Oh, I love solitude, and it's very still up there and very beautiful. And that kind of thing is very healing, that sense of self-reliance. And we do, all of my family, literally heal ourselves by cleaving to the ground. If I lie down on it and feel it all the way through my body, I get up stronger.
You know, I find it so interesting that for such a long period of your life, you live in a different place every year, probably a different state, not just a different house. And, you know, 1 year it was Vermont, 1 year it was California, you were just all over the place. And yet this cabin that you live in now has been a kind of constant presence in your life since high school.
Yes, it's really like a taproot that lets you grow everywhere. I really feel like I'm comfortable any place I go as long as that place is there. I just have to know it's there. It's the place that I'm connected to the earth through.
My guest is Rosalie Sorrells. Her latest album is called Borderline Heart. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with folk singer Rosalie Sorrells. I'm not quite sure how to put this, but it seems to me that in some ways you've had an incredibly eventful life. I mean, just like a lot of things have happened to you. If you don't mind, I'll just mention a couple of them. I know, like, when you were 16, you had an illegal abortion, nearly died as a result of an infection. Pregnant a year later, gave up the child for adoption. You were married, left, had five children to take care of, trying to establish yourself as a singer. I know that was very hard. One of your sons in the 1970s took his own life. Your house nearly burned down very recently. I mean, just a lot of things have happened to you. Some people just kind of coast through life, and other people, have lives that are rough or filled with rough spots anyways. But somehow I can't help but think that is also what has... that we hear that in your voice, do you know what I mean? That the emotions that have, the things that have happened to you, you put into your songs.
Well, that's what the songs are. They're actually an expression of that life. I don't think most people coast through life. Most people have all those things. They don't always... they don't have them as close together, maybe, as I had them. But some people just aren't able to talk about them or express their feelings about them. I think a lot of people like me because they felt like they were alone with some of those things that they had in their lives.
You wrote a song called All Devil Time.
No, wait.
It's not yours?
It's Pete Seeger wrote that song.
Oh, I didn't realize that. You know, you sing it so personally, I assumed it was yours.
Yeah, that's Pete's song.
Oh.
I used it when my mother was... When I thought my mother was going to die in 1983, she didn't until last year. But that's why I came back to Idaho. I thought she was going to die. And she got very sick and nearly did. And I sang that to her to pull her back, to try to make her come back to me. She was actually kind of cross when she came back. She'd been ready to die, and she didn't want to come back. But she developed a kind of cranky grace about it afterwards. She always loved that song. She just adored it. I sang it to her again and again when she was feeling losing her strength, losing her muscle.
Well, let's hear this song.
Old devil time, I'm gonna fool you now. Old devil time, you'd like to bring me down. But when I'm low, my friends all gather round to help me rise. Rise and fight you one more time. Old devil fear, you with your icy hand. Old devil fear, you'd like to freeze me cold. But when I'm afraid, my friends all gather around and help me rise. Rise and fight you one more time. Oh, devil pain.
Have you often sung to friends or family to help them through hard times?
Yeah, I do that, not just friends and family, strangers. I sing in prisons. I sing a lot in mental hospitals, and I sing sometimes at birthing sessions. And there's a strength and calm in the rhythm. There's a solace in the words. There's a sense of deep human connection that can happen singing together or being sung to by someone who's giving you that attention.
You wrote a song about your late son called Hitchhiker in the Rain. How does the song relate to your son and his suicide?
Well, actually, the song is really about that time, you know, that people call the 60s, which I think of as having started in the middle of the 50s and going to the middle of the 70s. It's a lament for the feeling that I experienced then, that I felt like I belonged to a family that went all across the country. And it's when I went out with my kids away from where I'd been and tried to establish myself. And I got a lot of help. I mean, people always helped me. And I mark that time in my own head by the fact that I always picked up hitchhikers and I wasn't afraid to do that. And I mark the end of it in that sense that I became afraid and I am still afraid. And my son always told me I had to pick up the hitchhikers or I'd ruin his hitchhiking karma, you know? And I always did it. And I continued to do it much after he died, thinking of him sort of stranded somewhere in the stars looking for a ride, not getting one if I didn't do it. But eventually I was overwhelmed by that fear that something would happen to me. And I think we all were. I think we have become afraid of our own children.
Well, this is Hitchhiker in the Rain from Rosalie Sorrell's new album, which is called Borderline Heart.
I saw him yesterday standing in the rain. His thumb hung low, his back half turned, his eyes as far away as Spain. And though he looked all worn out, near as old as me, his eyes still held some innocence like 1963. Then you came back like a dark angel riding memory's orb, dancing like a shining fool at the being in the park. Your body long and lean and curved just like a question mark. Oh, I turned my head and drove by faster than a midnight train. I left the aging innocent just standing in the rain.
That's Rosalie Sorrell. You found your mother's diary and have read some of that in your own stories. And it's really eloquent, the parts that I've heard you read on record. Do you keep a diary yourself?
No, I don't. I've actually tried to, and I don't write things down well. when they're written down, then I begin to question the writing. It's silly. My mother was so good at it. When you write it down, it's there. You can't change it. You know, when you're a storyteller, each time you say it, it's gone, and you don't have to live with it all the time.
Yeah, right. You can also change it as needed.
That's right. That's in a song I wrote for my mother, you know. The truth will always show you more than just one face, my friend, and the faces, they never stay the same.
That's a nice way of putting it. Well, Rosalie Sorrells, I thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much for listening.
Rosalie Sorrells' latest album, Borderline Heart, is on Green Linnet Records. This is Fresh Air.